We're in a series on Moses entitled Follow the Fire, and this morning we're looking at gratitude, and we're in Exodus chapter 14, verses 29 and following. This is just after the people of Israel have crossed over the Red Sea, and God has delivered them. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on the right and the left. And that day the Lord saved Israel from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and Moses, his servant. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're in the series, Moses, Follow the Fire, and this morning we're looking at gratitude. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. It's not only Choir Sunday, it's also Pancake Brunch Sunday, as you notice, with the pancake race, and we make some of the best pancakes in the world here, and it goes for a good cause. So I thought we'd start out with some pancake jokes. So what do the Chicago Cubs and pancakes have in common? They both need good batters. I know. How do you make a pancake smile? Butter him up. And then, finally, last but not least, what is the best pancake topping? More pancakes. And then the apples, sausage, and syrup. All right, so anyway, it's good to smile in the morning. This morning we continue this series, Moses, Follow the Fire, and we're taking this journey from slavery to freedom and from bondage to God's blessing. And it reminds me of Steve McQueen's film. I don't know if you saw 12 Years a Slave. It's based on the memoirs of Solomon Northrup, who was a free person in New York. He was African-American, but he was kidnapped in Washington, D.C. in 1841. He was sold into slavery and there became a slave in Louisiana for more than a decade, a total of 12 years. And he recounts later on, when he was freed, the horrors of living and working on a cotton and sugar plantations. And in 1853, he was rescued and reunited with his family, and this is what he writes. He said, "They embraced me, and with tears flowing down their cheeks, hung upon my neck. But I draw a veil over a scene that can better be imagined than described. I have been restored to happiness and liberty." Amazing words. And then you may have seen this movie Amistad, or the story. It was based on a true story of a slave ship, Amistad, and it graphically portrayed the horrors of slavery here in our own country and then how the people were dramatically freed, and we'd be thankful for that. Slavery is horrific and freedom is wonderful. And when we think about our own country, we're so delighted that we're in a new chapter, that we still have strides to make for freedom and justice for all. But it gives us a little window into the horrors of what the Israelites went through. And we're reminded, too, that slavery does exist in our world today. More than 40 million people are victims of slavery today. More than half of them are women and children. But as we look at this, the people of Israel knew the horrors of slavery. They knew it up close and personal. They've been victims of slavery for more than 400 years. It was through their blood, sweat, and tears that many of the great monuments in Egypt were constructed, and they cried for God to deliver them. And into the scene came Moses, and you may know the story. Moses was a Hebrew baby who was rescued from the Nile, became the adopted grandson of Pharaoh. We can only imagine what the privilege and power was like. But his mother all this time was nurturing him as the son of the slaves and giving him the Hebrew faith. And then one day when he was older in life, this anger that he had pent up inside him boiled over. He saw an Egyptian oppressing an Israelite. They were in a fight and he rescued him, but he killed the Egyptian. He buried the Egyptian's body in the sand. He thought it was a secret, but word got out to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh wanted to take Moses' life. So Moses fled across the Egyptian desert and went from power and privilege to just poverty and austerity, and no doubt knew what it was like to be thirsty in a barren land. And so he came to an oasis, and he just sort of collapsed. But then he saw the daughters of Jethro, and they had people that were bullying them, and Moses rose to the occasion and protected them. And later they invited Moses back to their father's house. Moses fell in love with Zipporah, married her, and was invited to stay. Ended up being there for 40 years and was a shepherd in the backside of the desert. Now, I can only imagine what it was like going from Pharaoh's grandson with privilege and power to being a shepherd, humbly watching sheep on the backside of the desert. But he did it for 40 years. And then all of a sudden, God appeared to him in a burning bush. And God spoke to Moses from that burning bush and told him to go and to set the people of Israel free. And Moses was reluctant at first. I think many times we too are reluctant as God calls us to something that seems bigger than us. But with God, all things are possible. And so Moses eventually goes before Pharaoh. And it's sort of a battle as Moses goes before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was reluctant. He did not want to let the people of Israel free. And so eventually God brings a number of plagues. And you may know those plagues, right? The different plagues, the water of the Nile turned to blood. We think of the plague to the livestock, the boils, the locust, the darkness, the hail, all these different things. And none of it seemed to make Pharaoh let the people of Israel go. And then finally, there was the last plague. And that last plague was the plague of slaying of the firstborn. And God gave Moses a command that they were supposed to kill a Passover lamb and then to put the blood on the sides of the door and the top and then be prepared to leave. And wherever there was blood on the doorpost, then those people would be free. But where there was not any, then the firstborn would be taken. And it was a horrible day. The firstborn were taken. We can only imagine the heartache and the heartbreak when that happened. And God pried the Israelites free from Pharaoh in that way. But it reminds us, when you think about that, of the Passover lamb and how the angel passed over those houses. We think of Good Friday. I think of Christ giving his life on the cross that we can know freedom and new life and be free from the slavery of sin and oppression in our own lives. But when Moses finally led the people free, they no sooner got out of the sight of Pharaoh and the Egyptian armies when Pharaoh changed his mind and he sent the Egyptian armies after the Israelites. And you can only imagine what it was like for those Israelites, newly free and had no arms and were in the middle of the desert waiting to cross the Red Sea. And then they were penned in by the Red Sea in one hand and then Egyptian armies coming the other direction. And so they went to Moses and said, "Have you brought us here in the desert to have us die? It would be better for us to go back to Egypt." And Moses prayed to God, as any of us would. And God told him to raise up his staff in front of the sea. And then the wind blew all night long. And God created a pathway for Israelites to go through the Red Sea, and then they got on the banks. And then no sooner had they got on the banks than the Egyptian army started to cross the sea too, and Moses went before the Lord again. But then God commanded Moses to drop his staff, and then the waters rushed in, and the Egyptian army was swept away. And you can only imagine in that moment the release as the people had truly been freed from slavery and oppression, a new freedom and justice in a new way. And they began to sing and to celebrate, as all of us would. And there's this beautiful chapter that's sometimes ignored, a chapter at the end of 14 and 15. And Moses and his sister Miriam lead the people in praise. And this is some of the song they sang. "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will praise him." Reminds us of the importance of celebrating and have an attitude of gratitude in our lives. And you know, for us, as we think of this picture, here's Moses. We think of this stern and powerful leader, and yet he's humbled and he's grateful and he's celebrating. He's singing this song. And we think of Miriam, his sister, and she's leading the women in song. In fact, she has tambourines passed out to all the women. They're taking a moment and celebrating, and it's a beautiful picture. And you and I, when we think about this moment, sometimes we feel maybe a little distant from that, right? I mean, none of us have been through slavery and oppression, fortunately. But there's a lot of things that we can learn from that. And I think the first thing we can learn is that there is slavery and injustice in our world, and we need to stand against it. I mean, a true attitude of gratitude is one that cares about those things that people are going through, not just in our family, but the people around the world. And as I said, more than 40 million people today, it's estimated, are victims of slavery today. Many of them, more than half of them, women and young children. And it's as staggering that it goes on today in our world. It may not happen in our neighborhood, in our family, but you and I can stand up for what is right and what is true and what is just and work towards that. It also reminds us that this week is Holocaust Remembrance Week. And it's hard to remember that because it's a chapter in our history where we think about people oppressing and killing others. But I think it's important as we remember that, that we can keep those images in our hearts and minds and work for freedom and justice and equality for all in our country and around the world. But there's something more that's here, and I think that's a lesson about celebrating. And that's sort of the flip side of that. When we have hearts of gratitude, then we're free to celebrate the Lord. And when we look at these children of Israel, they truly had a moment of celebration. And many times in our own lives, I think when we have something that's sort of a dramatic rescue, we want to get on to the next chapter of life, right? We have this to-do list, and we want to keep going, and we don't want to pause. But the children of Israel took a moment, and they celebrated that moment. And I think there's a lot to be learned in that, too. And the first thing, as we look at this, Exodus chapter 15, is they celebrated the God's character. And listen to what they say. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both the horse and the rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. What are the things that we can praise God about God's character today? We thank God for his providence, his blessing, and whatever challenge and adversity we face today, then all of us have some things that we can give thanks to God for. We are all blessed in so many different ways, and so we need to pause and to praise God and give thanks to God. And then the people praise God for what he'd done in the past. Listen to what they sung. Your right hand, Lord, has majestic power. Your right hand, Lord, has shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You might not share that same past with them, but you have some things in your past that you can give thanks to God for. You can give thanks to God for parents and grandparents, for home and family, for school, some of the blessings that create strong roots in our lives that enable us to endure the challenges and adversity that we face in life. And then finally, they gave praise and thanks to God for the future that was ahead of them, that nurtured them and strengthened them in the moment to face the future. And this is what they sang. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to the holy dwelling. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands have established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. In other words, they drew strength from the moment of all God had delivered them from and gave them strength and momentum to face the future. And you and I can do the same thing. Again, we don't face exactly the same challenges as adversity, but we do face challenges and adversity in life. And so we can allow God's celebration and rejoicing in our hearts and lives to give us momentum to face the future. And so when you think about this and think about your life, I mean, sometimes when we think about church, people don't think about celebrating. In fact, if you talk to people about why they might not want to go to church, they might say, well, it doesn't seem like it's any fun, right? It's not the moment of celebration. And it's wonderful to hear these young people sing this morning, not only singing about hope, but also singing about crickets and lions and seals. You know, those are things we should all give thanks for. We look around us and see the beauty of creation, and sometimes we forget to push the pause button and just thank God for all the things that are around us. And the glory and grandeur of the seasons of the year and the seasons of life and all those things. And so you and I can give thanks and we can celebrate. And we can continue to work for freedom and justice in all of our world, because I think as we celebrate, that invigorates us to work for those things that are true and right. And again, we look at those this moment this week as we look at Holocaust remembrance and remember not just the injustice in the past, but that there's work to be done in the present. But we also think about God's character. God is the one who loves us, and Moses is sort of a figure of Christ in the Old Testament. We look at Moses, he led the people from slavery and oppression to freedom and justice and the promise of the new land. And in a different but similar way, Christ came as God with us to free us from sin and oppression and our shortcomings to freedom and the new promise of the new land. And we ought to be thankful for that, and God loves each and every one of us, and God wants us to share the good news and to celebrate that. And then we can thank God for his works in our past, the way he's blessed us. And then we can be empowered and have faith for the future, knowing that God can bless us as individuals and his families of faith to continue to do good things in our world. So I challenge you today to take a moment and to be willing to celebrate. So in some places they say, do you have your praise on? So turn to someone and say, got your praise on? And now you can say a little bit louder, because I know you're shy because you're thinking, can we really do this in church? So got your praise on? You know, praise lifts us. Praise empowers us. Praise fills our heart with love and joy. We can share it with others, and it thrills us in ways that opens our hearts and lives to the blessings that God has for us. I want to close with this passage from the Apostle Paul, and it's from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And you have to sort of mentally check your mind, because when you hear this, it's hard to believe that Paul isn't in a resort somewhere on vacation. Paul is in prison. Paul is facing persecution, and he's writing to a church in persecution, and yet his command to them, his admonition, his challenge to them is to rejoice. And in that rejoicing, which takes some conscious intention, hear the words of Paul, there's a lot of power. And so he says this, Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, sisters and brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, it takes some time to sort of go through the checklist of life, and I encourage you maybe to have that same checklist in your life and to go through that and sort of give God thanks for that. But more than anything else, it empowers us for the future, because I think it's that that enables Paul to write in verse 13 these great words, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Praise gives us power to have strength to face the future. So today, I challenge and encourage you to give praise, to celebrate, to work for what is right and true in our world, and to celebrate the good things in God and in life. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for the moments of celebration. Sometimes we get weighed down by the burdens of life. There are many chapters that are difficult in life. But yet, Lord, there's so many blessings too. So many blessings all around us each and every day. So help us to thank you for the blessing of family and friends and the many other chapters of life that you blessed us with. Most of all, for Christ Jesus our Lord, who gave us life, that we can know forgiveness and new life and hope of eternal life. But help us to open our hearts and lives and continue to celebrate this day and each day through Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, amen.